Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 26, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 99. We're going to unpack paragraph 3 today, and that starts with "Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover," and then it flips over to finish out on page 100 with "The family came back too soon." Who want to read ahead on that to get prepared? Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kim T., the 12 Traditions, Shelley E. Reading the text and support today is Leah S., Abby S., Ellen D., newcomer greeter, sponsor, gatherer, Elena A.M., and announcements at the very, very end, Leslie M. Thank you for that service. The share ID numbers for yesterday's Big Book Study meeting at 10 a.m. Thursday, March 25th, is 14315, 14,315. Today's meeting, we already had one this morning at 7 a.m. That share ID number is 14321, 14,321, and that would be for Thursday, the 26th of March. It's a 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that just happened. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kim T. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Melanie and all. This is Kim T., Denver, Colorado, recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kim T. I will now ask Shelley E. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Melanie. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas, and here are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And take note, please, that this is the star 1 key function on your phone keypad only that we're referring to as muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, Working with Others. We're on page 99 today, taking apart paragraph 3, which begins with, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless, and then finishes over on the top of 100 with, the family came back too soon. And I would like to now ask Leah S. to please read that paragraph and then comment with her experience on what the directions mean to her. With that, it's up to you, Leah. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon the relationship with God. We have seen men get well whose families have not returned at all. We have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. This paragraph is so packed, I don't know where to start. So let no alcoholic say that he cannot recover. That means me. I was a compulsive overeater. And I certainly came in with too many resentments and too many things. I couldn't even uncover any of the adjectives that they were saying. What are you feeling about? Why are you feeling? Because it was a nonstop run, long sentence, and drama and saga. And that is the story of, I see, of many other people. They have gone through, and I come with my own baggage, but it is not so. It is unbelievable what this program and these 12 steps can do to me and have done to me and continue continue to do to me. As long as I keep fit in spiritual condition, on page 562. I don't know which page it is, but anyway, it's the whole concept of the spiritual solution. I learned to say God. I learned to make God my own. I learned about love. I learned about tolerance. And I learned about kindness. It does not matter who is doing what around me. I live with not only unrecovered people, but people who do not even admit to being alcoholic in whatever behaviors they do. And it does pain me. It does, because these are loved people of my family. And there is nothing that I can do. There's only one thing that I can do. And I can have access to that one thing all the time. And I didn't know that. I can have access to the power that is greater than anything else in my world. And that for me is God. I learned to take responsibility for myself, which I didn't want to. Just give me a pill and I'll lose the weight. Just sign up for this class. Oh, that's money, no problem. And I'll lose the weight. Oh, I'm so long on this one. Could you imagine? Look at how many inches I lost. And wait, I did go down a size or two. And then it all came back. I didn't know how to stay stopped. I didn't know that we have promises that I really will believe in. I did not know that spiritual experiences could be experienced every single day.
Time.
Yes. And I thank this program and all of you guys. And keep coming back. I pass.
Thank you, Leah. The lines are now open for additional comments on that paragraph. Paragraph 3, page 99 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take a line up.
Or W.
Heather W.
Irene B.
I got Barbara and Heather.
Laura W.
Laura.
Monica M.
Monica.
Irene B.
Irene.
Kathleen O.
Beth W. That's good. Let's go with that. Hey, Barb, I didn't get the first initial of your last name, and then Heather, Laura W., Monica M., Irene B., and then Beth W. You're up first, Barbara, with your first initial of your last name, please. Press a quick star one, Barbara.
What did she say?
Okay, so let's go with, and if Barbara's not available, let's go with Heather W. first, and we'll swing back around to Barbara. Hi, Heather. Star one, please.
Hey, everyone. This is Heather W., recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore. Super grateful to be on the line this morning. Just that first sentence really hit me. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless. And I think about it, you know, we could like dot, dot, dot after unless. There is no reason we cannot recover. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless, whatever it is, unless we get our family back, unless this person changes, unless we have a new job, unless we make more money. You know, I could go through all the hundreds of excuses I could have made up to say why I cannot recover. But this is so hopeful because there's no reason we cannot recover. This just isn't so. We may not get the family back or the job or this or that, but it doesn't matter. The only thing our recovery is dependent upon is on our relationship with God. And we get that from putting down that food, putting down our substance, step one, and having that total psychic change with the rest of the steps and working through that. We get that relationship with God. So I just think this is so powerful and hopeful. You know, there's no reason we cannot recover, nothing. As long as we get that relationship with God. So that just really struck out at me. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather W. Let's circle back and see if Barbara is available. Star one, Barbara. Your 3 minutes are coming up. Okay, we'll leave that as it is then for now. We're looking at Laura W. and then Monica M., and we're talking about what the directions on paragraph 3, page 99, mean to us. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. Every single paragraph in this book brings me back to God, brings me back to my higher power. I've been told over and over again that my recovery must have a life of its own, and I remind myself of that every single day because despite outside circumstances, it has to be separate. It has to be separate from disease. It has to be separate from viruses. It has to be separate from joys and good things and death. Somebody's unmuted. You know, and that is God doing that for me one day at a time. You know, God kept me abstinent the day my dad died. God kept me abstinent the day my children were born. God kept me abstinent, you know, when we lost power for 5 days. God kept me out. And that's what this is all about. This is about my relationship with my higher power and doing what I need to do where God directs me one day at a time. I got a very disturbing email from work last night. And my first instinct was to defend myself and to point the finger at the other person. And you know, I just prayed. I prayed and I reminded myself that this person doesn't have a program that I do. And the biggest thing for me to do is not react and not respond. And my recovery is not dependent upon what other people think of me, what other people say. And, you know, like it says in the big book, wife or no wife, job or no job, we simply cannot recover unless we place our relationship with God above everything. And that's what this is telling me today. I wish everybody well. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura. Monica M., you're up next with your 3 minutes, and then Irene B. will follow.
My name's Monica. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I've been in relapse for about 2 years now. A year of that, I was trying to work with a sponsor to get abstinent, and I just couldn't hang on to it. So in this reading, it says, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. It doesn't matter what I have or what I don't have. When I'm struggling in this disease, if I do have something, I end up pushing it away and losing it anyway. And I know that it's got to be contingent on my relationship with God. And that just happens to be what I'm struggling with right now. I'm also a part of AA, and I've been sober for 9 years. And I had a very tight relationship with God, something that I was just a gift of faith I was born with, regardless of my life. And I had this trust and this faith and this belief, and it got me to sobriety, and it's got me 2 years of abstinence at one point, and then just through this past 2 years, it feels like it's just gone, like it's been stolen, you know, and I'm filled with doubt and unbelief and fear that God bless me, which I know everything I read tells me that he'll never leave me or forsake me. But my thoughts are changing, you know. I've been going to school, I'm a college educated, and suddenly questions are arising that I never had about my religion and what I grew up with. And it's causing me just this inner crisis of, like, you know, questions. And it's causing me to struggle, you know. And then there's this part of me that's like, look, if you put the food down, you're not going to be blocked from the sunlight of the spirit anymore. Like, maybe some of these things will come together, you know. That's what what sobriety in me, what's left in me says, you know. But I'm afraid, is God going to be there for me to help me walk through this a day at a time? Soberly, without the food. I mean, I'm up 70 pounds and it's only getting worse. And I need God like I've never needed him before, but just My faith is faltering. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Monica M. Irene B. is up next, and then Beth W. will follow. So that's 6 more minutes for anybody else to start getting prepared to comment on page 99, paragraph 3. We're going to unpack that one today to see what the directions are for us. Hi, Irene. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This paragraph is so packed, and there are so many things I want to cover, but I'm going to cover 2. In here, it says, remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. And what that makes me think of is, okay, my relationship with God, what is my conception of God? And, well, I used to think that he was an ugly, revengeful, punishing, mean guy who was out to zap me. And then I read this book, Lies That Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. And in there was one little passage they quoted. It said, God wants you to have life and have it abundantly. That rocked my world. It's like that just rocked my world. That God is not a punishing God. He wants me to have life and have it abundantly. He doesn't want me to have a miserly life. He wants me to have the abundant life. And that was a spiritual experience, actually, because I felt shook up whenever I read that. It really made an impression. So that's who God is. God is somebody who loves me, and I can trust them because all he wants is for me to have the abundant life. And that means so much to me. And then over here, you know, my situation, my marriage is precarious to say the least, and I want my husband to come back so badly. But over here, the last sentence says, we have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. And it's like, you know what? God's been talking to me through these passages. This pertains to me personally in my current situation. That, you know, I am not to rush things. I am to trust in God. It goes back to the relationship with God. It's not what I want. It's not, here's my Santa Claus list. You know, give it to me, God. It's not that. I have to trust that God has my best interest in heart, and that everything in his time, not my time, will keep me sane, and it will keep me in recovery. It will heal me. And so I think that's all I have to say. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene B. We're going to open up the lines in 3 more minutes for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 99. But for now, it's Beth W.'s 3 minutes. Hang on just 1 second, Sandra. We're going to go with Beth W. first, and then we'll invite more folks to come online. Beth W., do you want to press star 1? It sounds like we've lost Beth W. too. Okay, Santa H., do you want to take 3 minutes, and then we'll open up the lines?
Thank you, Melanie. I'm sorry for jumping in like that. Good morning, everyone. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Montclair, New Jersey. And listening to the shares this morning, this is what jumped out at me from this paragraph. I remember when I was new in program, I didn't realize that until after their deaths of my ex-husband and my best friend at the time, that I had made them my higher power for all many years. And when they died and I had nothing else to hold on to, that's when I saw a higher power, truly for the first time. And then I realized, I was still acting out that behavior. I made my sponsor a higher power. And it happened so slowly. And like I say, this disease is cutting and baffling. And when she passed away, I eventually ended up back in the foods. And, you know, whenever I make anything my higher power, it will definitely lead me back to the foods. You know, that's going back towards the disease to me. So today, I'm working very diligently on not seeing people as my higher power, and that particularly in my life today would be my parents, and to see that my dependence must be on a higher power, and that everything that I get is just God working through other people to supply the things that I need, and not to look to them as my source for emotional comfort, financial comfort, and to look to my higher power for emotional comfort. And as long as I remember to do that, to look to my higher power for emotional support and financial support, then that keeps me out of the framework of making anybody my higher power. And so I'm so grateful to be a compulsive overeater, because my abstinence is definitely a sign to me that I am, you know, close to my higher power. And when the foods start calling me, that I need to really check myself and see what's going on here and do a 10-step around it and get back closer to my source. So I just wanted to share that. And thank you, Melanie. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. The lines are open now for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 99 in your big book. First name, first initial, be last name, please.
Marla S.
Amy K.
Janice K.
Marla. Amy.
Ellen D.
Danielle K.
Somebody came
Laurie
to
see. Janice K.
Laurie,
this is pages again, please. Thank you.
Ellen D.
Marla.
We got Marla, we got Amy, we have Janice, and so tell me again, I've got room for three.
Laureen W.
Is that Laureen or Maureen?
Laureen
W.
Jordan L.
Ellen
G. Robin T. I got it. I think that's my six so far right there. So, Marla, I didn't get the first initial of her last name. Amy K. Janice, your first initial, please, when we get to you. Laureen W., Jordan L., and Robin P. Good morning, Marla.
Okay. Okay. Hi, this is Carla.
Oh, Carla?
Carla, yeah, it was Carla. Yeah, that
Carla,
was,
I did hear
Marla.
Marla, are you there? Hang on. Carla, just a second. Marla, did I hear you?
Okay.
Yes, this is Marla. I'm here.
Okay.
I thought I heard
okay,
Marla.
That's fine.
Yeah, I heard a Marla.
That's fine.
Yeah, Marla, what's the first initial of your last name?
S like sun.
Okay, great. Got it. Okay.
You want me to go ahead?
I do. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having the online meetings. The phone meetings have been a wonderful connection. I'm Marla S. like son, from Iowa, recovered compulsive overeater, and so grateful to have a program that has taught me that, like a previous speaker said, my abstinence, my recovery no longer depends on outside circumstances or situations. When I was first getting abstinent, I had to remind myself, and people helped me with this, to know that I had always turned to food as a way of getting through any uncomfortable feeling before. The moment I was stressed about anything I would eat, the moment I would have something bad happen, something good happen, I would eat. And as long as I gave food, as long as I allowed food to be any option at all in my world of coping, it was always the only option I would turn to. So even if I believed in God, wanted God, was trying to have a relationship with God and let God help me, if I allowed food to be one of my coping options at all, it's the only one I would ever use. So in beginning my abstinence, and now when I work with new sponsees who are struggling to get abstinent, I remind them we have to take the food option off the table. We have to take it off the table. It can no longer be an option, and I have to help my new sponsors go to any length to figure out other ways they're going to get through those initial periods of food screaming at them. So I have them write a card like, what am I going to do when food starts screaming at me in the beginning of my new abstinence? I'm going to call people. I'm going to ask God for help. I'm going to pray like crazy. I'm going to get up and take a walk. In the beginning, it's that white-knuckling period of abstinence. I remind them it will not last forever, and if I stay abstinent long enough to get started on working the steps, I will no longer, after a little while, be craving it anymore. But they have to know that if they don't put that food down and find a way to do it the first few days anyway, there's no way to get through it, whether I pray or not. If Milky Way is an option while praying, I'm always choosing Milky Way as God. And like a previous speaker said, I've used food for years prior to recovery, and now I've gotten through tons of painful situations without food. Death of a best friend, family being terrorized by three teenage thugs for a period of months, son being under investigation for rape, lots of painful situations. That
time.
As long as food's an option, we're not going to use our higher power. Thank you, everyone. Stay sane and stay healthy. I pass.
Thank you, Marla S. Amy K., you're next for 3 minutes, and then Janice will follow you.
Good morning. It's Amy K. here, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. I'm really grateful to be on the line this morning. Well, first, we have a really clear instruction. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. That's just very clear. There's no maybe in there. And the other thing that pops out for me here is we've seen others slip when the family came back too soon. So my best thinking in this situation would be, well, of course, we want a family to come back as soon as possible. And what this really emphasizes for me is the fact that it's my best thinking that got me here. I have to be tuned in to my higher power's will for me in every moment, every situation. And that's not an easy thing, but it's the work that I have to do because my thinking has been distorted. And so a lot of times when there's a decision to be made, I think I know what it should be, and I've just got my mind made up. And what I realize now is that I really don't know what's best in most situations, in and of myself. And so I need reliance on a higher power to guide me in my decisions and my actions. Throughout my day. So, thank you. That's all I have this morning.
Thank you, Amy Kay. Next up is Janice. Janice, you want to give me the first initial of your last name when you come through, please?
Hi, this is Janice Kay in Central Oregon. Okay, the paragraph says, let no alcoholic say he cannot recover. It also says, in some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. We have seen others slip when the family came back too soon. Families do not always survive a member's venture into sobriety or abstinence. Recovery demands change. Sometimes people can adjust and adapt to our changes, and sometimes they can't. So the battle can become very difficult. It becomes, for some, I have been in the room for years, and I have seen people leave when the choice they faced was family and relationship or recovery. I think that dependence upon God is the way we survive. That's how we make it through. But we need to make every effort to show our recovery to the family so that they know that what their choices are. Sometimes the family can survive a venture into abstinence, and sometimes it doesn't. The wife may never come back. The family may come back too soon. I need to tend to my own side of the street. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. Lorraine W., your 3 minutes start now, and then Jordan L., you'll come in after.
Hi, this is Lorraine W., and I really like this paragraph a lot, not because I went through a divorce and my family left me, because I lost respect and trust in the family. And therefore, when I started with program, they were still very cautious around me. Like, is it going to be another one of those diets? Is she going to be acting up? Is she going to be raging again? You know, I had to build that trust, just like anyone else who has lost a family. And that's what I felt I did. And you know, my family did return with many amends to them, with understanding now I have integrity, that what I say is the truth, that I can be honest with them, that that my life now is controlled by God, not me, and I'm not going to control their lives no longer or try to control them. My husband was always supportive, and my family was very and has been very supportive of program, even with all these Zoom calls and telephone calls that we deal with today. At least it keeps me in touch and keeps my God foremost in my life. And I really appreciate this phone call and that people reached out to me yesterday. There were three new sponsors that offered support to me. And one of them I had a wonderful conversation with, that we understood each other well because we have very similar family situations. It is such a gift, this program and Vision for You, and I want to thank you all for allowing me to be on the phone, and I pass.
Thank you, Lorraine W. Jordan L., you're next, and then Robin will follow you. Robin P. will follow. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mel. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. Super grateful to be abstinent through a pandemic. Woohoo! I had a lot of trouble like swallowing the idea of God when I got here, right? Especially a God that I felt had put me into the position that I was in when I got here, you know? And when I say I got here, I kind of like, I'm like simultaneously referring to like the three times that I came into Overeaters Anonymous, because I kept coming in and then leaving and then coming back in and leaving. And I felt like a higher power was the one who was responsible for my 100 pounds of extra weight. A higher power was the one who was responsible for like all the outrageous emotional issues that I have as a result of carrying around so much extra weight since the time that I was 11 or 12 years old, you know? It was like God's fault, you know? So like when I got here and I was told that, it talks about this and there is a solution, like it talks about two powers that we need. We cannot do this without these two powers. And one is the power of the fellowship, and the other is this higher power or God, as you understand him, right? And that was like, that was hard to swallow. And one of the reasons that it was so difficult was because up until that point, like, I had been playing God. I had been playing the higher power in my life. I had been the decider and the ruler of the land and the director of the show and any other wonderful examples that you want to add on to that, right? And so when I got here, and my sponsor made it very clear to me that my abstinence was not dependent upon her, and I now do that with my sponsees. I make it very clear to them that their abstinence is not dependent upon me, that this is their journey to make, to find that God of their understanding, that they can develop a relationship with, you know? And I also make it very clear to my sponsees that, like, a lot of times if you are having trouble developing that relationship with a higher power, it may be because of the same problem that I had. You can't do that when you're God. You have to put down plain God first, right? Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Jordanelle. Robin P., you're up for 3 minutes, and then it looks like time's going to allow for at least one more share after that, perhaps two. So get ready if you wanted to comment before we close out the recorded portion. Hi, Robin. You're 3 minutes, madam.
Hey, hi, Elle. Thanks so much. God bless you. Thank you so much for your recovery. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. I love that we're reading this because it really enforces that, you know, our relationship with people and our recovery is not dependent upon people. It's dependent upon our relationship with God. And what a proving ground that right now. I feel like, wow, that's so perfect. Like, you know, I actually was talking to someone on the phone who said, wow, so many people are going to slip. And I thought, that never even occurred to me. Like, that's not true. You know, anyone could, you know, they talk in the big book about the alcoholic who's out in Alaska, you know, and, you know, but it's, you know, a dog could come along. Like, it's really about our relationship with God. And I, you know, was divorced when I first came into recovery, and I stayed in recovery through the process of getting remarried to my husband, and thank God. And you know what? I'm present in my relationships with my family today. We have love. I'm not checked out. I'm checked in. And it's such a blessing for them. And it's such a blessing for me. It feels like the prodigal son. And I came back, and they are so grateful I'm here. And I make a difference because I'm recovered, and I have something to share, and I have some hope and, you know, just experience, strength, and hope to share. It's so important right now. It feels extra important right now to be recovered. And I'm so grateful. And I'm a vegan, and I'm organic, and some of my food I've really been challenged with finding. And you know what? So what? I find other things instead of the things that I'm used to. And God's in charge. And I found some lettuce yesterday, and that was awesome. So I'm really grateful, and thank you so much for letting me share. God bless everybody in your recovery, and with a very recovered abstinent day. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin. Robin P., that's who that was, Robin P. Okay, so it looks like we have time for two people to comment on that paragraph.
Patty,
could you give me the first name? Patty.
Danielle J.
Danielle J. Okay, that's it. That's what we got. Okay, Patty, you're three. Clock's a ticking.
Okay, thank you, Melanie. Thank you, everyone, for all these wonderful shares today. You know, I'm sharing this with my sponsor earlier this week that when I first, in the first 6 months of my OA experience, 14 and a half years ago, or 14 years ago almost, my sponsor at the time went on an extended trip, and she asked me to get a temporary sponsor. And I said, okay. And I asked this lady. And so the first day that we talked, I said to her in a very joking manner, I hope I can trust you the way I trust my other my regular sponsor, because I tell her everything. And she got quiet for a moment, and then she said, well, let's hope so. But why don't we use this time for you to develop your relationship with your higher power? Because what you need to remember is that at any time, any one of us, your sponsor, my sponsor, me, or you could go out. And it's really important that you know how to go to your higher power, not depend on people. And, you know, it's been my experience over these last years, even through a 6-year chronic relapse, that I cannot get this recovery by osmosis. I don't get it just because I go to meetings and listen to other people on the phone or listen to great shares that inspire me. That does happen. But that is not how I get recovered. I get recovered by going to God and asking for God's help, the God of my understanding. Can you help me, please? That is how I got abstinent again, and that is how I found vision. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Patty T. Danielle P., you're the last person to comment today. Thank you. Depending.
Hi, Danielle, compulsive overeater, sugar carb addict, also fat addict. Thank you so much for letting me share. So talking about the family, when I was early in recovery, I said to myself, sure, I was going to meetings, but I have a small child. So certainly, you know, my recovery can't come first. What are they even talking about? How could that even be? And when, unfortunately, as a result of that, when my daughter looks back on pictures of her at that age, she is met with disdain and shame, and she just kind of, you know, forsakes that beautiful little girl that she was. And it's almost ironic, because all I wanted was to give her the best life that I could and to be there as a mom. But honestly, if I would have put my recovery first, it would have been so different. And by the time I got back into OA in a serious level, she was about 13, and of course she's benefited. Of course she has. But those, you know, this paragraph, it just spoke to me so much because of the paradox of the confusion. And I'm sure it was my disease, you know, talking to me much louder than my inner voice or than God. But, you know, eventually I found it through, you know, of course, more pain, because that's obviously the way it needed to happen. But it was just such a stark reminder, and things that I don't always think about, you know. And I hope now that she's softening to that beautiful little human being that she is and that she was. So anyway, thank you so much for letting me share. And I'm so grateful for this meeting and all that it's given. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Danielle P. Let's close out then this particular portion of our big book study this morning. This is the recorded portion, and it'll give us more time to catch newcomers and get sponsor contact information. We just have probably less than 60 seconds before, and perhaps that's not enough time for somebody to truly share. So appreciate that consideration with me on that issue. Thank you, everyone, that was of service today and that made this meeting possible, especially during these particular times. I'm just very touched by the service that we have here. We continue to do this one day at a time. So let's get prepared then to close out the recording by reading from the big book on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and I'd like to ask Abby S. to please read that for us, and then stick around. We'll say the Serenity Prayer together, and then we'll move right into greeting newcomers. Good morning, Abby.
Good morning, Abby S., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.